Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It's Carl and the Bot. It's September the 15th, and it's 7:06 in the morning. Joined today by Eric the Magnifico. He doesn't wear his kilt today.
It's not Friday yet.
So you wear kilts on Friday.
It's Kilt Friday. And Kilt Friday, you wear your kilt.
Yeah.
That's Carl's just been waiting for that all week.
Yeah, you know what?
All week. When he found out I was going to be the guest engineer, he's been waiting all week.
Dad Bob comes in with these extravagant, I guess that's the right word, not extravagant, but these
eye-bashing
Hawaiian shirts. And while Eric dresses sedately all week, then comes in with a skirt on Fridays. And, you know, and it's the kind
the
of
kilt.
Thing that, okay, you can call it a kilt. Other people, when you walk down, you put it on. It goes around your legs. It's open. There's no like legs to it, and it looks like a dress, a skirt. It you know it swishes like a skirt. It sounds like a skirt. And you know what? Sometimes I would think, okay, it's a kilt. Turn off. Turn off. There you go. Turn off your microphone. There you go. And speaking of turning me on, though, here she is, Linda Bot,
who does wear skirts,
yeah,
not kilts.
That's right. Those are skirts. Hoot, mon, hoot.
Oh, wow, so you're really full of the testosterone this morning.
Oh, that's new.
Currently 57 degrees. I'm supposed to continue on with that. Today's going to be high of 90. It looks like we've got a tomorrow 89. We got a chance of rain on Friday, but it's going to be a really nice day today. Today in history, just in case you are always like, what happened today? Well, you woke up. Good morning. We're glad you're here.
That's
us.
A huge start in my house.
Good morning. This is KCNR 1460. We had the best Alaskan fresh halibut last night. I mean, truly fresh, right from the, I don't know, maybe a week old, days old. So good.
Swim into the backyard.
Okay, USA Today, a publication of the Gannett Media Empire, was published for the first time on this day in 1982. The paper was called the Nation's Newspaper. Critics called the satellite-transmitted, colorful, splashy, somewhat glitzy publication News McNuggets. The Nation's comic book. And the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Best Investigative Paragraph. So USA, now with editions throughout the world, has changed the shape of newspapers everywhere. Many have imitated the fast-reading format pioneered by USA Today in an attempt to revitalize the suffering newspaper industry.
Well, the suffering newspaper industry. In other words, give them just a bite here, a bite there. They're, you know, those long investigative pieces are kind
of, I don't
of
know.
Like,
there's something about pictures. What can I say? Okay, yeah. Quickly, let's a couple other events that happened today in 1857. You need to know this. Timothy Alden of New York earned a patent for the typesetting machine. So, making it more timely, we wonder what Timothy would have thought of the computer, of course. Hoagy Carmichael in 1930 recorded Georgia On My Mind. I had no idea it went back that far.
Do you think Hoagy was his real name?
On the Victor
label. Or was
he
named after the sandwich? Or was the sandwich named after him?
And that has been recorded by Ray Charles and many other artists over the years. Georgia On My Mind became the official state song of Georgia in 1979. Okay, Secretariat, 1973, won the Marble Cup. Do you remember that? Don't shake your head at me. I was alive and really paying attention at that time. The Marble Cup and set a world record for the 1 1/8 mile event the legendary Thoroughbred won in 1:45:23 2/3 seconds and earned $250,000. That was big time.
There is a movie that's being released called Secretariat. I just saw the first commercials for it, or ads for it, yesterday.
And in...
I have a story about Secretariat.
Okay. Do you want me to continue?
It's a true story. Nah, just stop giving us the break sign. We'll tell you when. Eric, you're just getting abused today.
Well, while we're talking about Secretariat, why don't you talk about the story?
Well, I went to the...
I'll come back and talk a little bit about days in history. How's that?
I went to the Kentucky Derby with five of my friends. We drove all night long to get to the Churchill Downs. Got there in the morning. The only thing that was open was Bill and Emma's bar. But they did have hot dogs there, so we had some hot dogs in the morning. We walk it. We go into there. I'm making a long story short here. Somebody had given me money to bet on a horse. And the, yeah, thank you. And I looked at the horse, and I thought, well, that's kind of a silly name. So I bet on a horse that Bill Hardtack was riding called War Bonnet or War Paint. And I was a young Marine. I went, yeah, you know, that's what a sign that is. Well, they ran, they came, you know, and War Paint or War Bonnet was so far behind, I think they had stopped them, unsaddled them, and washed them down. And this horse with the funny name won. It won big time. His horse's name was Secretariat.
So you got
so
to see
I
the
was the only
race.
Person out of 400,000 people there that voted against that big red horse when it was running.
Did you vote or you
I
bet?
I got to see it. No,
you
no.
Bet.
Well, yeah, that bet for this horse. Yeah, no, I was standing on the infield there, which is a great place. You've never been on the infield of Churchill Downs on race day. Woo-hoo. Anyway, and of course, he went by real fast, but we could see him.
That's a great story. Well, I guess we'll take a break on that.
I think so.
Okay, Eric, it's time. This is Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio. You're listening to Free Fire Media with Carl and Linda Bott. Didn't I just say that? We'll be right back. North State, 57 degrees if you're just tuning in. It is 7:15. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott. Hello. It is, wow.
7:15 in the morning. It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be 90 degrees today.
It appears that the Turtle Bay Hotel is being put on hold.
Well, guess what? We've got in a little bit here, we'll have Cameron Middleton is going to come in and
by.
Talk about it. He was at the meeting last night, which was 4 hours long.
Yeah, one of the commissioners there for the Planning Commission, and he's going to be talking about that, which is great because they're going to explain why it was put on hold. The other thing is that I've noticed that, you know, and it's been in the paper and it's been in a lot of comment lately, is the KIXE front page talking about the general manager, Phil Smith, and local programming. And they did a story about him. He's pushing for local content. As you know, if you've been following this, is that Smith, the general manager, the new general manager, came from Austin, Texas, came up here, and had been here for a few weeks, and he canceled a show called Democracy Now! Now, many people have never seen that show, and many people were not watching the show. Smith looked at it and said, you know, this content is, you know, PBS has a reputation for being very fair in its content. You know, people trust the news. Well, I'm not sure that's true completely. I mean, but it is. I mean, it does. It wins the awards. But what happened is he looked at this and he said, now this one is, but this one kind of goes over the top. And this was his opinion. And he looked at it and he pulled it from the programming side. Well, the veritable firestorm hit the skies. And the people were really, really upset about it, saying that this was off the air. Well, it had been off the air for like 2.5 weeks before people really noticed. And that was after it got into the paper. Well, since then, you know, there has been, you know, a great deal of disagreement, a lot of it in the blogs, but a lot of it, you know, people coming down, and I understand, are going down and talking to the, you know, groups of, you know, progressive groups going down and talking to Mr. Smith down there. And let's go back for a second. Progressive, you know, it went from liberal to progressive. So I'm not sure. Does that mean then if you're conservative, you're regressive? Is that the idea? I'm not sure. Instead of using the word liberal, oh, no, we don't. No, it's not liberal. It's progressive. Okay. Anyway, they met, and Smith has come up, and they've been and did the story on it about KIXE. Well, the bottom line here is that Smith appears to want to have more local programming here in KIXE, in our local PBS station. Hello, what a great idea that is. Music, discussions, debates. He even talked about filming or putting the parade, the Christmas annual Christmas parade, on the air. And, you know, then, of course, then there's some comments from people. But, you know, the comments were not the savage ones that I've seen before, the 250 that said, you know, this is wrong. You know, some, not all. Some, you know, were personal attacks. Many were just, hey, you know what? Why are you doing this? We're going to pull all of our support from KIXE. Well, And Smith was on the show, but also it doesn't take a lot of, you know, a lot of long-term looking at to see, my friends, is you pull your support for this because for KIXE for one show, this Democracy Now. And by the way, if you have not seen it, if you've got satellite TV, it's on there. Because we found it the other day and we watched it. Now, frankly, the comments on it were kind of like being cherry-picked. You know, you pick this one, this one, this one. And when you do that, you can take it out. You can say it's news, but what you're doing is you're taking one version of the news from sources that are leaning left, if they haven't been propped up on the left-hand side. So I saw what was going on. Plus, it was kind of boring, just somebody sitting there. I mean, so I understand, okay, how this can happen. But to pull your resources because of that one show takes away Cat in the Hat, takes away all of these, you know, the Big Bird, takes away all these shows for the children. It takes away shows like the McNeil Report or Laird Report. It takes away other very good shows that are on PBS because of this one show. One of the things they pointed out is that KIXE, it's down. You know, it used to have 11,000 members and taking in so much money. It's down to like 3,000 members. Now, this happened before Smith got here. Well before Smith got here. The fundraising, which has dropped dramatically, was well before Smith got here. Smith is trying to shake the place up. Yeah, and they said they had to let three people go. That's what they are in the financial side of it. So, I mean, it's, you know, some people are saying it's a personal thing or whatever, but don't. Take a step back, my friends. Take a step back. Look at what's going on there. He's been there, what, 2 months? Take a look about what he wants to accomplish. I think the idea of local programming over the PBS stations is a great idea. I think local programming over our commercial stations is a good idea. We think local programming is a good idea. That's why we do it. It's our community. It adds to the fabric of our community. The comments from all sides, the comments in the shows by people with different viewpoints. That's what makes a community, a civil discourse. So when I see this on the front page, I find it, okay, you know, what this is telling me is that our community needs to get together and say, okay, we also want that. We want PBS to be a success. We want to have that programming for children where you don't really have to worry too much about, you know, when they're watching something and, you know, and there's violence in the cartoons or there's violence somehow working its way through a children's show. And it's just a little part of an editorial I have here. That's what I believe. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Carl on the Bot, KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 7:24 on September 15th.
Currently 57 degrees. It's going to be high today of 90. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Hey, we're going to be out there Friday night. Rick Hill is going to be playing his guitar, and boy, I'll tell you something, he really does a phenomenal job. 474-5546, call out there and make your reservations. They sell out when we do these music events. I know I have about four dates booked, and Rick has variations with different players, and Candice Lavolsi. We're going to be doing some dates up until December. Those should be posted in a few days. We're just locking them in with, you know, who the other players are and stuff. So that should be a lot of fun. And we are taking your emails and calls this morning, 605-45-67. We've got a lot of stuff we're covering. Tom Basenko is on this morning at 8 o'clock. And before then, we're covering Cameron Middleton. Supposedly will either be coming by or calling in this morning about his four-hour meeting with the planning committee last night.
About Turtle Bay. Hey, what about the primary elections last night? The Tea Party rolled in. The lady named Christine O'Donnell rode a surge of support from the Tea Party in Delaware's Republican Senate primary, dealing a GOP establishment guy a loss, and it wasn't even close. Now, what's happening is that Republicans are fighting among themselves. I shouldn't say fighting among themselves. Well, they are fighting among themselves. They're, you have candidates that are more conservative, and they're looking, they're going after moderate moderate Republicans who have voted, made huge mistakes, and voted the wrong way, or in their opinion. So the Tea Party, you know, when you go into it, and people, let's go back to the Tea Party again, and people, you know, have poo-pooed them, said they were nothing, they were making up nasty names about them, said that they were not a movement, they were nothing, they were not important and everything, and then now, a year later, things have changed. Well, really, it's 2 years later. It started on April, I think it started April 15th, 2008, with the first march across the bridge. It was 2009. Anyway, they marched across the Sundial Bridge here. Anyway, the fact is that the Tea Party is a force to be reckoned with. It is a force that has the capabilities of making a change. If you remember the Brown out of Connecticut that got, or Massachusetts, got elected senator, took Teddy's place. I've heard people here that were members of the Tea Party were working for him. And I said, how did you work for him? He said, well, we sent some money. We don't have a lot of money. We manned phone banks. They manned phone banks from here to get people out to vote to support him. So this is, you know, it was organized. They were there to help. The things going on now, though, is those that have won in those primaries, in some cases, the Republican Party is pulling their support. They're not giving them the support as the bell ringer, the leader of the Republican Party in that area. So it's going to be an interesting election, because now they're going up against the Democrats. Democrats, of course, are chortling by saying, well, you know, we're going to have a terrible time on it, and then we were going to have a terrible time, but now maybe they're splitting their votes. Let's go to the phones. Roberta, you're on line one.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Roberta, welcome back.
Good morning. I want to make a little observation about the National Republican Senatorial Committee not supporting the Republican candidate that was chosen by the people. All the time I've been involved in politics and worked really hard for conservative candidates that a lot of times do not win, every time they do lose in the primary, we are supposed to get behind the Republican candidate. We're always encouraged, now you have to work for the person elected in the primary, you know, once the primary is over. And I would like to know why it is that liberals don't have to work for conservatives when they get elected.
Well, that's a good question, is why are they pulling that support? I think they're being stupid. You know,
they are being stupid.
The fact is that that's who's going to be running. Now,
right.
The question is, so let's have the Democrat win in their eyes,
yeah.
Then have a member of the party that you may not agree with everything, but you still love to support.
Well, it's just disingenuous, because we're always told as conservatives we have to support the liberal Republican that wins.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it turn around and go the other way?
Hey, Roberta, we've got to take a hard break. Let's finish this conversation at the other end of the break, okay?
Okay.
All right. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and the Bot, phone lines here are 605-4567. We do chatting on KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Airport Road, Doug Tooley puts in the Dish Networks, which we now have and we're real happy with. Hundreds of choices, perhaps even, who knows, thousands. Okay, maybe hundreds. Guarantees his work. His guys show up on time. He can do surround sound. He can do home theater. He'll set everything up there for you. His phone number is 244-1988. Doug was a member of the 82nd Airborne. He's local, and he guarantees his work. So if you've got any questions, you just call Doug. He'll make sure that you're happy with your service. We've had phone calls that have attested to this. So that's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. On the phone is Roberta, and Roberta is saying, has got a good question. He says, you know what, when the Republicans have a primary and a more liberal Republican wins, they expect everybody to fall in line. So why is it if a very conservative Republican wins, people say they're not going to support him?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, it's... it seems so disingenuous. And the other thing is, how many people are going to send, I think they're cutting their own throats, but how many people are going to send money to the Republican Senatorial Committee when they won't support our Republican primary candidate that won?
You know, it's strange how, you know, Republicans are, for, you know, they're Puritans. You know, they have this thing where, you know, if something goes wrong, you know, if somebody does something that could be considered unethical, I hate to use that word in politics, but, you know, the Republicans will take them off their committee positions and do all this stuff,
yeah.
And yet the Democrats don't do it. You've got Charlie Rangel, who's under, like, 46 probes and charges with the Ethics Committee, and he goes back and he just slam dunks his primary, and will probably win his congressional seat back. In fact, it'd be a surprise if he didn't,
well,
even though he's under investigation.
But that's your worldview. See, when you believe that the end justifies the means, you do anything you want to get in power. You lie, whatever, to get in power. But when if you do not believe that the end justifies the means, that you need to be ethical and forthright and have integrity all the time, then you can't go with that. And so there's a big difference between people that believe, you know, it's your worldview.
Ethics,
if you're gonna answer.
Ethics, morality, and politics. Oh, say it ain't so.
Well, talking about ethics and morality, can I make another little announcement? We're going to have a wonderful person, Tim Barton, and he is David Barton's son, and David Barton has been on the Glenn Beck program talking about our history of the Founding Fathers, and Tim Barton's going to be in Reading, or he's going to actually be in Melville Community Baptist Church this next Monday, September 20th at 6 p.m., and he's going to talk for an hour and a half on our Constitution and our Founding Fathers, and you know, and we'll learn a lot, and I know it'll be very encouraging. I know a lot of people are familiar with Wall Builders, so I know they will want to hear Tim Barton.
Okay, it's Tim Barton Monday evening.
Yes.
So he's going to talk about the Constitution and Founding Fathers.
Yep, and it's going to be at Melville Community Baptist Church in Melville, and it's right off of 44 right there by out by Melville Plains Road.
Okay. Well, Roberta, thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Roberta's such a leader in the community, too. Several of those honored for helping others last for the Red Cross breakfast. The range of just...
Breakfast of Heroes.
Breakfast of Heroes. There was even a dog. So there are were so many and people that we know. You know, how about Kurt Walling?
Kurt Walling, the major from out there at Simpson University. We're going to have him on the show here if we can ever pin him down. Nadine Bailey.
Bailey, let's see, you had the adult Good Samaritan went to Ronald Barton, who's a retired Shasta Paper Company worker. He saved the life of a four-year-old. For the family, there was Liz Slowick, Oak Grove Bible Fellowship Church, along with members of her church. She started a community garden and a plot behind her home in Palo Cedro. There was educator Heather Yeager, who's a second-grade teacher at Turtle Bay School. She urges her students to take care of the environment. During the holidays, she gives her students money with the stipulation that they donate to a charity and then write about it. How fabulous is that? In medical, Dr. Dinesh Mantri, not liking what he saw from vacation photos of himself. In 2006, Mantri found a passion for bicycling. He combined that with fundraising, collecting more than $8,000, participating in a 325-mile Northern California AIDS Challenge. Again, Kurt Walling, who last year has been a Reading leading ROTC program at Simpson University. And in law enforcement, Nate Benton, who is Shasta County Sheriff's Deputy, he responded to an anonymous report of a severely abused boy and at Rhonda home, Rhonda Road home. There he found the 7-year-old boy badly beaten, and I remember many of you, I'm sure, remember that story, how horrific it was. But he's the man who just did the investigative part of going into that case deeper. The Spirit of Red Cross went to Roy and Mary Stevens, who are Red Cross volunteers. Congratulations to the heroes of the North State that have been selected by the Red Cross.
Great. Okay, we got to take a break. We're going to come back. I want to revisit a story from yesterday. I just can't get enough of it, about how the Castro brothers have seen the light and decided that perhaps big government doesn't work. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. the home of Free Fire Media.
Lead in, because even though you're going to go on a little bit of a rant, I got to talk. I had to share something else that's really fun with you because, you know, I like the obscure and the weirdo, bizarro stuff. Yeah, I mean, our engineer likes to wear a kilt. I mean, he's really cute in his kilt, too. And one night, we were up in Anselmo, and a guy walks in, and he has his kilt on. And I said, oh, combat boots and a kilt.
Well, it's combat.
And he was celebrating.
Combat kilt night.
He was celebrating his anniversary, like 16th anniversary with his darling wife. And I said, oh, our guy, Eric Kahn. And it was, you know, in the army greens. It was an army green kilt, like what Eric wears.
Maybe
so,
do you like exchange your kilts?
Do you guys like hang out?
Do you have like a kilt exchange there, Eric? Huh?
No.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
No, we don't.
Okay, Eric is turning red and is, you know.
Well, if you were just getting in the car, or getting out of bed, and you're tuning in, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's currently 57 degrees. It's going to be high today of 90 at 7:44. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew and Espresso Joe's inside of Tobacco and Brew. We love everything that they do at Espresso Joe's. The gals there make a great cup of coffee. You can get wine and tea and coffee beans, and then of course their huge walk-in humidor. Carl likes to buy
2143 Hilltop Drive.
That's right. Okay, now the new Guinness World Records were released. And this particular one was about odd pet records. Okay. Are you waiting?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to let you just do this one here.
Remember how Titan used to be the tallest dog in the world? It was a Great Dane?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, now the Great Dane is 43 inches tall and weighs 245 pounds as of February 15th. He is owned by David Nasser of Tucson, Arizona. And his name, this George, his name is George, and he edges out Titan. All right. The tallest cat is a, I don't know what F1 Savannah, named Scarlet's Magic, measured 16.48 inches from shoulder to toe. All right. Longest jump by a rabbit, the world record of 9 feet 6 inches, was set by Yabo. The fastest time to pop 100 balloons by Jack Russell Terrier, Anastasia. 44.49 seconds. It was set live, you know, of course, with Regis and Kelly. I mean, they got it first. The oldest dog ever was Bluey, an Australian cattle dog, lived to be 29.5 months, 29 years. He was rescued from a puppy mill in 1939. So the list goes on. I know you're looking at me, but good morning, and we're so excited that you were able to get here. Good morning, Cameron.
Good morning.
Cameron Middleton, who is a member of the Reading Planning Commission. Is that right? Reading?
That's correct.
4 hours of meeting yesterday, and you've put Turtle Bay on hold.
Yeah, well, 4 hours wasn't too bad. Most of the times when we've had marijuana of any kind come up on the agenda.
Oh, yeah, marijuana was also on the agenda.
It takes about 4 hours. And this
time... Is it because you all are using it, or is it, it slows things down?
That only tacks on about an hour.
Okay.
No, actually, usually there's a lot of very vivacious public debate. Last night, we had none.
Oh,
not
really?
One speaker, not one comment. Amazing. Nothing. On the marijuana issue. So then we actually got to Turtle Bay and to the hotel, and that one we really poured through very, very thoroughly.
Now, it wasn't clear on... I mean, to me it wasn't. Maybe I just read it too hurriedly, but... The vote on it was 4-2 to send it back to, 4-2 to put it on hold until September 20th, go back and look at the plans. Is that correct?
Correct. For the most part, the commission liked the project. They liked the hotel and that it was going to go there. We just had, there were three of the six of us, because Commissioner Burt Meyer had to recuse due to conflict of interest. Of the six of us who really felt there were some issues that needed to be addressed. And once we looked at those issues, we said, boy, these are probably solvable. If we can send this back to the applicant, have them take a look at it, make some revisions, and come back to us, it's very likely this might be passed.
What were the issues?
There were several. Parking was an issue. One of the main issues, too, that's been brought up, not just with the Turtle Bay Hotel, but citywide, is bicycle accessibility and pedestrian accessibility. And obviously this is a major nexus and connecting point for the trail system and for the Sacramento River Trail and the Sundial Bridge. And a lot of those pathways would be going right in front of the Turtle Bay Hotel. So we wanted to make sure that, those issues were addressed. There were some site plan issues. Commissioner Lynn Wanacott actually was, as an engineer, really brought up some very good points regarding access to the Turtle Bay Museum, access to the Paul Bunyan Forest Camp.
People really enjoy it, you know, heading over the bridge and using the using all these access areas there. So it is huge. The one point, there's one point of access in there. You know, has that ever been addressed? They're trying to find, put a different point of access, you know, so you've got two ways in and out of that area down there?
Absolutely. Secondary access was a major issue. I know it was personally for me. On a project of that size that already is accommodating several other uses, we wanted to see that, I mean, there were several of us that wanted to see that that was at least addressed. We weren't necessarily saying, I believe it was Commissioner Michelle Godert, who brought up a very good point that, boy, it's kind of excessive to put the burden of that secondary access solely on this hotel, because it probably would require a new bridge. I mean, in order to do a full-blown secondary access. The fire marshal indicated that the Sundial Bridge does not count. It does. You cannot bring, it's not rated to bring emergency vehicles over that bridge.
I don't like taking 500 people across that bridge. We've done that before.
Yeah, you don't want to jump up and down too much.
No, you start swaying.
Here. Yeah, it's not good. There is an emergency access fence. It's a gate that is over by KRCR, back where they have the satellite dishes, and on the other side of their parking lot, which can exit out onto 44. It's not, certainly not ideal, and according to the fire marshal, it's not their best option. But a couple of us wanted to see a little bit more information on that, a little bit more study. Is that a sufficient access? Is this something that we need to have addressed?
We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're talking to Cameron Middleton on the City Planning Commission about Turtle Bay and the hotel. Been put on hold for some reasons. Doesn't mean it's dead. It's just been sent back for some revisions. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. 60, Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:55. Our guest is Cameron Middleton. Let's go to the phones. Jim, you are on KCNR.
Oh, hello. Could I ask your guest to explain what the Planning Commission is recommending to the council as far as changes for the medical marijuana?
Yes, the changes that were actually recommended. Now, some of the changes were actually already adopted by the council. There were some major changes. One of them had to do with clones and having seeded clones to be able to be produced to be able to get to the cooperative members. The primary thing that we covered, though, at the Planning Commission meeting last night was the zoning of nurseries. What happened was one of the collectives found a nursery that they had where they were growing the marijuana in order to provide the nursery, or provide, pardon me, the co-op with product. We didn't have any regulations for that. So city staff felt that what we needed to do was set some rules in place for these nurseries. So a nursery can be owned and operated in an industrial zone, so in a heavy industrial zone or a general industrial zone, and they can produce up to 50% of the total medical marijuana that they retail out of that dispensary, no more. But they can produce 50% of it at an off-site nursery, and then be able to, in an appropriate zone, has to be fully enclosed, and then they can go ahead and bring that to the dispensary for sale to their members.
So let's say a co-op has 100 members.
Yep.
That would be 50 times how many plants would be growing at that nursery?
Not sure. And really, it's more of a matter of gross dried product. And it's not necessarily for 50 of the members, but it's 50% of the total amount of medical marijuana that actually leaves that dispensary. So, and in terms of specifics and number of plants, we really didn't get into that because there's a variable.
I see where you're going with this. And what about, so is there a size limit on this?
There is not a size limit.
So if you're putting 100 pounds out or 200 pounds out of your dispensary,
and it's each plant does 3 pounds of, you know, of the dried stuff, then you're talking, you could be talking hundreds and hundreds of plants.
You could, and literally you can have, there is no size restriction on that. So,
if I may, who would know how much product a co-op is selling?
The co-ops themselves. I would talk to, and I actually did speak with some of the owners, and they're very good about talking to you about that. The other person that would have those numbers would be the chief of police. The chief is the one responsible for the oversight and the permitting of each one of the collectives. And he knows, because he has full access to the books, what's going in and what's going out.
Okay. And also, could you really explain what they are allowed to have in their co-op as far as growing clones or whatever that is?
Well, and that's the thing. They're not there to grow in the co-op, in the actual dispensary itself. That's why the nursery ordinance was just put into place.
So they're not allowed to be growing small plants in co-ops?
They're not supposed to be growing the small plants in the co-ops. But they can provide an off-site nursery in an industrial zone to be able to...
So if they're operating currently in a non-industrial zone, they can begin operating in another facility as a nursery?
Correct. And actually, you're only permitted to have a dispensary unless you're grandfathered in. You can only open a new one in a general commercial or heavy commercial zone.
Can you leave your current location and move to a light industrial location?
A dispensary? No.
Yes.
No. The chief of police and the city attorney, through the draft ordinance that has been in place, the nursery has to be in an industrial zone, dispensary has to be in a commercial zone.
It's pretty complicated. Thanks for the information.
Very complicated.
You know, Jim, you know, and they just wanted to say, oh, can I just have some medical marijuana? And This is what initiative or Prop 19. Imagine what that's going to do, because there are no rules on that one to try and figure this one out.
Yeah, Jerry Brown forgot to give us oversight.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call.
Bye,
Cameron. You know, we always appreciate
you
coming
so
in
much.
Here. Yeah, and you know, we're getting ready to end up this. We've got Sheriff Tom Basinko on the other side here, because we've set up a regular monthly. A visit from the sheriff to talk about what's going on, and you know, to keep, you know, for the updates. We want to get, you know, regular updates, and people like yourself, the sheriff, chief of police, to come in and talk to our listeners, and so they can ask them the questions about what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate being on, guys, and any time I can, and just to help clarify, and just as the caller had some questions and some specifics, we'd really like to be able to provide that. So.
And thank you for the River City Java Coffee. It's yummy.
You're very welcome.
Love to see you in the morning.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cameron.
Thanks,
Carl
guys.
And the Bot, Free Fire Radio and KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 in the morning, September 15th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, 605-4567, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and you can get into the chat room right there. And be prepared to ask the questions for our next guest.
Sheriff Tom Basinko.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Feel like a little fanfare here.
Da-da.
What we are starting today with the sheriff is a regular monthly appearance on the show. So that, I say appearance, maybe it's a listen on the show, where he comes in and talks about what's going on in the sheriff's department, what's going on in the county, as a way, again, of updating our community, letting you ask the sheriff a question. Because many times, even though Tom makes himself very accessible in many events, dressed in sometimes funny costumes, dressed there to help out with a lot of events that are going on. This gives you an opportunity to ask him a question. If there's something that's on your mind about law enforcement in the county, and we appreciate you making this a regular event in your life.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. I appreciate it very much.
Well, you know, we need to do this with our public officials so that they can come in and say, you know, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what we're doing. This is why. Just like Cameron Middleton just came in to explain what he saw in the...
I'm sorry. I'm getting it online and the computer was
Linda's,
on.
Linda's streaming us right now, in fact.
trying to get us on the chat room. Sorry.
And the
we're so sophisticated. Oop, there we go. Okay, I'm ready. Sorry. It's Thank human.
You.
It's live.
Okay. Anyway, to like when Cameron Middleton came in to talk about Turtle Bay, they had, you know, the boat last night. They're sending Turtle Bay back to their planners, change a few things, take a look at some stuff that they have some real, they have some questions about. And but this is what we need, is to be able to have this. You know, I hate to use the word transparency, but an openness, I think, is a better word.
Well, I think it's very important to, for our elected officials, excuse me, and our public officials to be accessible to the citizens, just not be in our offices and set appointments, but be out in the public. I do go to a lot of community events, and people ask me a lot of questions, whether it be about concealed weapons, crime occurring in the area, advice. Sometimes they turn in tips about drug activity in their neighborhood. I relay that to my staff, and then they take that and look at the investigations. So it's very important. So there's a lot of information out there. This is just one avenue for it.
Well, one of the things we wanted to talk about, we were discussing before we came on, was burglaries in the area. There's been an increase. There's a rash of them going on. What's
in
going
the
on?
Unincorporated areas, the county, we've seen an increase in a lot of daytime burglaries, and these particular people had an MO, is what we call it, modus operandi, of going and knocking on people's doors, and then if there was no answer, then they'd burglarize the house, either break a window and get in, or the place was unlocked. And then their primary target was guns and jewelry, and then they would sell the jewelry real quickly for the gold content, and then also get rid of the guns. And so we did end up capturing about four of them out in the Palisadro area, but they had been hitting some places out in Palisadro and eastern Redding area, so that was a good thing. But people can't let their guard down. Keep your house locked. Keep an inventory of your valuables. It makes it good if you have jewelry to take digital pictures of those and have those stories, because it's very difficult to describe a ring. And then even for me, I can draw stick people, but I can't draw. I'm not an artist and can draw a design of a ring.
Well, you know, this is something that, you know, insurance companies will tell you, is that take photos of all your stuff. Like, we have photos of, it's not just like jewelry, but also weapons too, or anything that, you know, even to walk through your house, take photos of the rooms and everything that's in it, because, you know, God forbid you have a disaster. Now you can have something there to start with to go back. But right. That's good advice, Sheriff. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to kind of I want to continue with that on people losing their valuables and where they could end up at. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back. Good morning. You are listening to Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, 1460 on your dial. Keep it there, won't you? 58 degrees this morning, going to be high today of 90. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And our special guest this morning, and we hope to make this a regular monthly visit, is with Sheriff Tom Basenko.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thanks for having
back.
Me.
Okay, we were talking about some thefts that were happening. Of course, you know, that's going to happen wherever you live, but about four individuals that were in the Palisadro area. You know, we have a friend recently that was the car stuff ripped off out of the car on the west side, and was saying that he's hearing that he has heard through friends that the west side has an increasing, you know, I guess there's areas that maybe the thieves canvass. Are you getting an upsurge in the west side?
I won't say an upsurge on the west side, but any place of subdivisions, we see a lot of car burglaries, and usually it's a lot of times in the nighttime. And people go cruising by, take a little look of what they can see through the windows, try the doors if they're unlocked, and then rifle through looking for loose change, that iPod that may be sitting out or in there. And so that's why it's very important for people to lock their cars and have valuables to where they can't be seen.
How about what happens in parking lots at grocery stores?
Kind of the same thing. People will go through the same thing. Wherever there's a concentration of cars, we'll also see that a lot of times during Christmas time when the shoppers are running through the malls and stuff. And then a lot of people coming and going. People will go through there, look for an unlocked car, or actually break into them.
Well, I think the thing that came to my mind is that I wanted to ask you, if you have an alarm on your house, you know, there still is a period of time. The alarm usually goes off within, what, 30 seconds by the time you open the door?
Generally.
Does that, for anybody who's like a professional thief or somebody who's trying to get into something to get to a drug cabinet, or grab something quick and then run out, how does that stop them?
It depends on what type of alarm. There's some alarms that are audible, and then as soon as you break in, and within that 30 seconds, then an audible siren or a horn goes off, and then that, a lot of times that scares them away to where the burglary can't be completed. Other ones are silent and goes directly to the alarm company, and then you have the response of law enforcement, which could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes, depending on where you live or what calls for service we have.
We have a one that's very audible, and in fact, our little homeowners association, we're all armed, and we've checked the laws. So anybody that's seen it, we don't know. It's we have fields of fire for our emergency, our final protective fire. Everybody runs out, takes their positions, and as people are running down the street, we let them run into where the tracers are intersecting down there.
Pretty tough neighborhood.
It's
then.
A tough neighborhood, but then again, we haven't had too many problems.
On a serious side, though,
right.
You do make an important point of knowing your neighbors,
right.
Maybe their cars, and just reaching a handshake of friendship of saying, hey, I'm Tom, I'm your neighbor over here. We may be gone for a little bit. Can you keep an eye out, or we're going to have someone coming over and taking care of our house? The Neighborhood Watch Program, that is a very effective program for people that have close-by neighbors.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that we have the people in our neighborhood. If there's somebody new walking around on our street, oh, we know that right away. Or mm-hmm. There's a car parked there, somebody walks out, takes down a license plate number. You know, people may, you know, that look at, you know, and they're there for innocent purposes. But if we don't know them...
There's another community up in Shingletown. Their houses are not close together, but they have a neighborhood watch program via email, and they give out little newsletters that, hey, we saw a blue truck going down this street here, license number ABC123. It was driven by a white male, 40s, something like that, and that's the way they keep each other informed of what's going on in their neighborhood, which is also excellent.
Well, you know, we have to do that with the cut... with the. And let's just get into this one too, with the cuts in the services because of our financial problems we're mm-hmm. having in the county and the city. We're going to have to start relying on each other more that way.
Okay, yeah. Let's get right down to the narcotics, to what's happening with the OxyContin and the narcotic stuff going on.
OxyContin has been dealing and selling a lot, which is very good. That's a good point. We see a lot of it being taken out of people's medicines cabinets, whether it be your own or a grandmother, mother, something like that. It could be friends, neighbors, house guests coming over. So that's where they're getting a lot of these. And we've seen robberies throughout Shasta County as well, where suspects have gone in a couple of times to Shopko in Redding, once out in Palisadro, and they've robbed pharmacies, not for money, but for OxyContin.
How much is the OxyContin going per tablet on the street?
Up to $80, sometimes more.
For one tablet.
Okay, and yeah. So how long is the, I mean, because I don't really know. I know that people, you know, the OxyContin is just so addictive. How long does the high last, and what are the symptoms?
I don't know how long the high lasts, but some users could take 4 or more pills a day for that high. And so times 80. $320. Where do you get $320 a day?
That's stealing gold and trying to hawk it.
A lot of that.
You have a great job, at least temporarily.
$320 a day. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, back in the old days with cocaine, it was $100. Remember?
Yeah.
And you thought, oh, somebody would have $1,000, you know, $1,000 a day habit. And that was back in the 80s and the 90s, you know. But you never heard about all this other stuff.
But it's a painkiller. It puts you drowsy. We call a lot of times on the nod. Because it makes you a little bit sleepy, so you're nodding. And so that a lot of the symptoms kind of like that could have some drunken stupor-looking symptoms, even though you're not drinking alcoholic beverages.
So it's just something that looks like somebody's kind of out of it?
Yeah.
When you're
slurring of speech?
Could have that. Again, that it addresses motor skills, judgment, slows everything down.
And
it's a pretty high-power painkiller. Yeah.
And what's it doing? So it's just kind of like... What do they do it for? I mean, it's just like a mellow, just
kind of like why do people get drunk too? They're looking for that that effect.
Escape.
Yeah. I was just wondering how what kind of but you know I can understand because I've been so drunk before.
What
I've never
what
been
we're
on
doing
drugs.
Is the worst thing to do is if you have medications in your medicine cabinet is to flush them down the toilet. That's a bad thing. That can put that into our system, and then it doesn't get filtered out. It goes right back into the river if you're on a septic water system like for the city of Reading. So on September 25th at our main office in on Court Street and one in Burney, we're having a drug turn-in to where you can turn in prescription meds or even controlled substances. It gets all collected, no questions asked, and then later, and this is through the assistance of the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, then they'll be destroyed properly.
Well, you know, this would probably be a good time for, you know, a lot of people will accumulate over the years drugs because, you know, something's happening. Some of them may be painkillers and others that you haven't used for years. This is probably a good time. Collect them all up. Put them in a bag. Put Eric's name on them. Drop it off at the sheriff's office. And Eric's phone number. And then but to drop them off on September 25th. That way you can just kind of clear everything
out. It'd be a proper way to dispose of drugs or prescription drugs or controlled substances. Maybe somebody has passed recently and you're cleaning out their house and they have a lot of medications. Or like you said, you have something from 4 years ago when you had some antibiotics or some pain medication, and it's sitting there. You want to dispose of it properly.
Good idea. Okay, we're going to take a break. Coming back, we're going to go to our chat room, and we have some questions for the sheriff. Stay tuned. We'll see you right after these messages.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:24 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley support our community. They've got Espresso Joe's there, you know, 40 different types of coffee. You can buy coffee beans by the pound at some of the best prices in town. They'll fix the coffee any way that you could possibly imagine. And, of course, the finest walk-in humidor in California. All types of cigars, all types of prices. And if you've got a question, they're very knowledgeable. Joe and Shelley support our community, support the veterans, and they've been in business there for decades.
I think they got another cigar night coming up.
That's right, pretty soon here. And, you know, they've been so successful, these cigar nights. You go down there, and besides the fact you get a couple of free cigars, I mean, you learn a lot about it. And
definitely
you see a bunch
smoke
of.
And, whoa.
Yeah, we just go down there and we flaunt our cigars in
front
of people.
That's right, the guys
we
are
sucking
on their stogie. Hey, I got an email here from, going to go into the chat room and ask Relay. A question for the sheriff.
Sure.
Given the economic times, how does the sheriff keep apathy from setting in?
Good question. Try and see the more positive things rather than the negative things. It's pretty easy to dwell on the negative things, and I kind of consider the negatives is like a disease or a cancer, and then it spreads. If I'm in a bad mood and negative, that spreads to the people that I touch and interact with in the course of work. So try and keep all that concealed if I'm not having a good day and still look at the positive aspects of life and what we're doing. Yeah, we're having a bad economic time, but it will get better.
I've never seen you cranky.
I try not to be.
No, I mean, really. I mean, the sheriff could be cranky.
We have our bad days, but again...
You know, when you got the green uniform on there, it's like, are you cranky? I hope you're not. I don't want a cranky sheriff. But you've always been so nice every time we see
you.
Seriously. Well, because you see a lot of...
Is the sheriff cranky today?
Yeah.
Maybe we should just call up your assistant. Hey, sheriff's coming over. Is he cranky?
No, I just meant that that's an interesting question because, really, when you see the underbelly...
Yeah.
Of a lot of stuff. It's got to be just...
It's stressful when you're dealing with budget issues or personnel issues. And my staff, they kind of know my days. They notice if I'm a little bit quieter. Maybe it's not a good day. Maybe I'm not so jolly or outgoing. So there's some things. Or when I have to concentrate more, so then I might partially... Usually my door is always open at my office. So if there's time that I need to concentrate more on something, I'll have it partially closed. And then they'll kind of peek in and see what's going on.
Well, we will say it right out loud that we think that you have been a wonderful servant
to the
citizens here of the North State.
Thank you.
You're always accessible. And here you are on our show, and that's why we're saying we're encouraging you to call in, ask the sheriff questions, what's on your mind.
Email
605-4567 is the hotline here.
You know, one of the things is I just saw one of the headlines is saying it, a UCLA economist expect California slump to run into 2012. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing this from not just UCLA, but we're hearing it from economists throughout the nation. If you talk to people in businesses, the real estate business, they just, and then the car business, everything, everybody's talking for another 2 years out.
Yeah.
What's the next step, Tom? I mean, because if we go down again, what can we be looking for? The financial picture.
Well, one of the big concerns right now is the lack of a state budget. Right now, the legislature really isn't doing anything to get a state budget. That does impact county budgets and can impact our cities as well, because there is programs that we have that they have not had a budget, so that's no money allocated that's supposed to be coming to counties, and that impacts our not only the sheriff's office, but it can impact health and human services, public health, mental health, child welfare issues, and so that's a huge concern here. And then if we want to keep those programs going right now in the county until that state money comes in, then we, the county, have to play the banker until that comes along.
Well, you know, this is, we've only got 2 minutes before we have a break, so if we get into it, we can continue. And I hate saying this, but when it gets right down to it, do you start, if you want to keep sheriffs on the road, and I'm not asking you to.
Right.
We're going to have to eliminate programs.
I think it's very important, because before we can be fit, either mentally or physically, before we can have a good education and good schools, before we can enjoy our parks and our trails and the great things here in the North State, number one thing, we have to be safe and feel safe. And so that's why public safety should be a top priority for our officials.
Well, and you have, well, I tell you what, I'm going to save this question, and others are coming in until after the break, about your dealings with, you know, the sheriffs and the sheriff's department when it comes to CalPERS and retirement and all these things are a little bit different mm-hmm. viewpoint than others are on right. this. But we'll talk about that when we get back. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Bosenko. He's going to be with us till 9 o'clock talking about what's going on in the Sheriff's Department, what's going on in his realm, and a chance for you to ask questions about what's going on and where do you think that the Sheriff's Department is and where they are going, too. And ask the Sheriff for this. Now, this is Carl Lindebot. Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, Reading, and all of the Antwood, Anderson,
Cottonwood, all of North State. We go out to, I was listening up past Shingletown yesterday. We were up at Shingletown talking to some people.
Shasta Lake City.
Got a new show that they're, you know, that we're going to. I think we're going to take a look at bringing on here. It's something that it's different and that could be interesting. But we were up there past Shingletown looking at it there.
We're going to go check out. We're going to go hang out with Norma, too, down in Anderson.
That's right. We're having lunch with the people of Anderson.
Great.
Next week. Yeah,
we're excited about that. Just, you know, kind of just, I don't know, expand, learn things about some of the other towns around here. Love it.
We reach a lot of places when we're streaming and just on, you know, just with our signal anyway.
We're taking your emails here. Linda at KCNR 1460 in the chat is open, KCNR1460.com, and taking your call, 605-4567.
Our guest is Sheriff Tom Bosenko on his first of his regularly scheduled appearances here once a month, through the beginning of next year,
yeah.
In fact. The discussions that the Sheriff's Department had with the Board of Supervisors on pay
mm-hmm.
have been nowhere near. And I'm not comparing anything. Well, I guess I am. Have been nowhere near the all the consternation and anger and finger pointing and all that as has been in the city. Can you talk a little bit about that? You know,
well, the negotiations were actually between the unions and the county through the Board of Supervisors has a negotiator as well, and they did get a little bit contentious there for a while. But everybody knows that this is a very difficult time, some draconian times as far as the economy goes and the benefits. And the hardworking men and women of the sheriff's office did make concessions and ended up having to pay part of their retirement, 9% of their retirement, and then some salary concessions as well. So it gets complicated when they sit down and do that. Yeah. And then as elected officials, myself, the auditor, controller, district attorney, everybody, the elected officials other than the Board of Supervisors, we made concessions as well for our retirement. And the Board of Supervisors, they're a separate entity. They made concessions regarding their salary and their PERS contribution as well.
Now, did this allow us to keep sheriffs on?
It allowed us to where we didn't have to take more of a hit. If we hadn't made those concessions, we could see more of a hit to the county budget, which would impact the sheriff's office specifically.
Okay.
You bet.
Because right now we're right in the middle of this, you know, a firefight here in the city that I'd sure like to see people be able to talk and reason and at least, you know, and come to some kind of agreement here before, mm-hmm. Instead of the scorched earth policy we're into right now. I remember when we shut down the third floor.
Yeah, or eighth floor, yes.
I'm sorry, eighth floor, of the jail. What kind of impact has that had on our community?
Huge. The jail holds about 300 or has a capacity of 381, and we've been at that capacity since 1993. And then when we had to close that one floor, that's about 120 inmates. So that those people got released. And now we're at about 240 inmates or so for our capacity. So now people, you get arrested for burglary, and then unfortunately, unless you have some violent crimes in your past or this was a violent crime in itself, chances are you could be released just due to lack of capacity within our jail. That's not uncommon. It's not unique to Shasta County. Fresno County closed three floors of her jail, 1,900 beds empty, and she had to turn out 1,900 people over the last couple of years. L.A. County saw a reduction in one of their jails, two of their jails actually, a work facility and a jail. So that's not unique just to Shasta County.
So if we see a dark bus with the windows dark, and it's got like L.A. or Fresno on it, and they're coming up and people are getting off.
That'd be a clue.
Is that a clue?
It's caused us a lot of difficulties, too, even in the Fresno area between the chief of police and the sheriff there of the releases and impact on crime and public safety. And seems like it's a revolving door because you get the releases and then they get picked up a short time later for another offense. And it is frustrating for the officers as well.
Well, is this a definite morale?
It can be, absolutely.
Impact has an impact on morale. I can see that. You work really hard. In fact, I've heard this from people, is they've worked really hard to get a couple of these people in jail, mm-hmm. and then just to have them turn loose.
It's frustrating for the district attorney's office because a lot of times these people don't show up in court, and then you have the court ready to go. It's frustrating for the judges and all the clerks, and then the person doesn't appear. So you issue a bench warrant. They get picked up on it, maybe released on their own recognizance again, and that starts all over. And that's throughout California and a lot of places. There's 37 counties that are either have court-ordered capacity releases, self-imposed capacity releases, or a federal mandate capacity release.
Oh. I know we've got a bunch of stuff coming through on the Internet here. You know, one of the things we've discovered, Sheriff, is that once we open up that chat room and the Internet...
goes nuts.
People come in with a lot of their questions via that way.
That's good.
You know, some will call, but this way, you know, We realize that that people are real comfortable to ask a question where they can write it as opposed to calling. Now, there's some people that can call and, you know,
well,
they're great.
Sometimes the phone lines get tied up, and this is another avenue, another medium allow you for your listeners to reach out.
Well, we're glad we're doing it. Yeah, we're really glad we're doing this and doing it in the different types of mediums. Anyway, we have to take a quick break. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's 8:44 in the morning, September 15th, Carl and Linda Bott.
And tomorrow
is Linda Bott Show.
No, but I mean, tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, you're going to have a special co-host.
Starting this Thursday and every Thursday, I'm going to have a guest co-host. Because, you know, Linda has her show that night, so... she is going to be off on Thursday mornings, so I have a guest co-host. Tomorrow will be Barbara Harrison.
Oh, wow.
And we have people writing to us, so if you want to be a guest co-host, come in here, enjoy our madness. See if Eric wears a kilt. maybe if Eric's on, that we can get him to wear a kilt the day you're on there, and maybe a, you know, a rainbow band or something. But
Barbara Harrison does a shout out to you. I guess you guys worked the of course the barbecue.
We worked shoulder to shoulder serving at the drive up for the Asphalt Cowboys annual barbecue, 58th annual barbecue. Great.
And how was that?
That was just spectacular.
Great.
The
Great.
Steady stream of cars all
Super.
Day long,
Super.
And then a lot of walk into the park.
It's a it's a great event. You know, you all put on a great event, and we're really happy to support that. I mean, really, I mean, this is, you know, again, community. But the thing about the guest co-hosts is that they can come in. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be a member of the Tea Party. You don't have to be a member of the ACLU. But you can be. We've had everybody on from both sides, so. If you want to be a guest co-host, send me an email at carl@kcnr1460.com or give us a call. Say, hey, I want to be co-host, and then I'll call you back and we'll talk. And you know, once a week, four times a month, five times a month, we'll have somebody on here with me to keep
Sounds
me out
like
of trouble.
Fun.
The chat room is going crazy.
Okay.
Okay, so we have, okay.
Was it something I said?
No. Let's see. I'm going to go scroll down here. The unions have their backs against the wall. President Bush said after 9/11, bye. We live in a consumerism, yet ceasing to consume in all ways is a no-brainer. That means we all must do with less, including union members will hurt. What are the sheriff's thoughts about the cuts? We talked about that.
They're very, very difficult. We took a big hit about a year ago. We laid off 25 people. 11 of them were deputy sheriffs, and we lost another 20 vacant positions. Those were wiped off the board, so a total of 45 positions. Closed that floor of the jail. But for the rest of the state, it was delayed about 1 year. When I meet with my fellow sheriffs, Sacramento County laid off 140 deputies last year, and they were looking at another 80 this year. Oakland PD, 80 officers. Stockton PD has laid off officers this year. San Jose, we're looking at layoffs. And, of course, we have some right here locally in Redding. And so it just got delayed about 1 year, and so they're getting hit up and down the state.
You know, before we go to the phones here, Tom, but the crime rates, and this is interesting, the crime rates haven't caught up with that yet, have they?
It hasn't engaged, and there's also what we call in the business a dark number, and that dark number is unreported crime. Do people just say, you know what, yeah, my bike got stolen out of my front yard or out of my garage, and I know the police are busy, I'm just not even going to report that. But that goes uncaptured and unreported, and it's a false sense of security that crime is maybe down.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to the phones because I have another question, too, about response time and that. Jim, you're on line one.
Hey, guys. Hey, I was wondering... You were just talking about Oakland having a shortage on police officers because they got laid off. I guess they're going to the town of Salinas to ask for advice on their gang problems because in Salinas they have really done an outstanding job. I don't know what they did, but they did an outstanding job decreasing the gang homicide rate from, I think it was 67 of 5 years ago. Now it's down to, like, 7. And have you ever thought about going and the city of Redding going and talking to Salinas? I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Great question. And I know that we do stay in touch via the internet and symposiums that we go to. There was one recently in Sacramento on gang issues. I don't know if we've reached specifically out to Salinas, but we try and look at what's going on elsewhere in the state and trends. The big thing that we do know is we don't want to have gangs get a major foothold here because they are very difficult to unroot. We have about 100, 175 certified gang members here. And as you folks well know, we've seen gang activity primarily in the city of Redding over the last few months with some stabbings and shootings and assaults and different things like that and related. And then recently the Hells Angels held a run here on the weekend.
We just saw them in a hotel across the way because we're all standing out because we have a lot of shows on Saturday and Sunday, local shows. And we're standing out there, and I'm seeing the Hells Angels rolling by, and we're just, so what's going on there?
Yeah, they had a run here. They have a little bit of a clubhouse here as well, and they are a gang, and they are involved in criminal activity, and that's been well known for decades and decades and decades, and we try and address that. And
is there any problems?
Not that I'm aware of.
Did they come up here? Because they've come up here before several times. I mean, the Angels have come up here, ridden up here many times, in fact. I was just wondering if they're, and if there's ever been many problems with them.
They had. There was some assault and a fight down at a local bar on California Street. I think the chief has addressed that in the past when he's been on here.
Yeah.
And there's been some other incidents near another bar grill on California Street as well a year or two ago, and one of them got tased.
Oh, don't tase me, bro. By the way, Peter Hansen offered to tase us for us to go in there. So Linda was trying to put together the whole staff to go in. We link arms, and then he tases us.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. I'll do it.
I've done that. Yeah.
See?
I'm taking a tase.
That's right. You know, I'll only do it if Eric wears the kilt. So anyway. Okay, we got to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and talk about, I want to talk about response times and the arm sitters.
You think I'm crazy?
Nah.
Just hope my feelings won't fall out.
Carl and the Bobby Free. Yeah, join us after these messages.
Integrity.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell. But I
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Our last segment here, Sheriff Tom Basinko is our guest. This portion of the show brought to you by Athens, by Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, DC Tim in the Man in Black will give you the haircut, a manly haircut. There'll be no hairstyling going on there. They put no gel in your hair. They don't do fingernails. They just give good haircuts. If you're a veteran, they give you a discount. I don't know if the less hair you have, they charge less, or if they charge more because they have to find it.
There's more clicking of the scissors and talking then if you have less hair.
Sheriff Thomas Sinko is our guest. Hey, Tom, because of the cutback, so now we're talking longer response times, or is that true?
In the county, yeah, longer response times. Sometimes there's only, say at 3 o'clock in the morning, there may only be a couple of deputies on in the Redding area and a sergeant, so three people in Bernie. Around 3 o'clock, there's no deputies on duty.
The armed citizen?
Yes, usually two. But if they arm themselves, they have to comply with the law. We do have a large concealed carry weapons population here in the county. And you don't need a concealed weapons permit to have a gun concealed or wearing if you're in your business or in your home. That goes to your home as your castle, and you have a right to be able to protect it, but we don't want to see vigilanteism or
of course not
improper use of force as well.
But we also have to understand what's going on, and that if you have an emergency on one end of the county or in some of those areas, you may not see anybody that's going to respond for a long time.
The other day, someone called me at home and they said, "Hey, could you send an officer over because we're having problems with their son?" And it wasn't anything that was a big emergency, but it was somewhat urgent. But called my sergeant, and most of the staff were up in the northern end of the county on a stabbing. Well, that's a pretty high-priority case, and so that case was going to be delayed a little bit for going to check on their son.
Well, you know, that's and unfortunately is what happens when you start making cuts.
We saw it in another neighboring county to the south of us, a couple of counties down, and they're going to take misdemeanor reports over the phone. And so, because they're not going to respond to misdemeanors, because they'll be busy just due to the lack of staffing and responding to that. And some agencies have gone to internet reports and mail-in and phone-in reports for misdemeanor crimes and stuff.
Misdemeanor being?
Petty theft, theft under $400, a whole myriad of things, but usually...
So, yeah, if something gets, say, your car gets broken into and they take $600 or $700 out, so your insurance, you know, you've got a $250 deductible...
Theft.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so.
$600-$700 would be. Well, they've changed the law for $1,000 now, and it depends if the car's locked, because then it's a burglary, which makes it a felony.
But the big thing most people are looking for is just the number,
right?
You know, the investigation number, so they can turn it into their insurance.
And then our detectives, we have a few less detectives than we've had, just due to downsizing, and so they're very busy with crimes against children, sex crimes, burglaries, a lot of property crimes.
And one of your sheriff's deputy, one of your deputies was the hero of the year with this.
He was Deputy Nate Benton, and he received an award from the Red Cross for a community hero. And he was one of the main investigating officers on the young child down in Cottonwood that had been abused for several weeks by his guardian. And we'd spoken with medical staff, and they said that if Deputy Benton had not taken the action and forced his way into the home to do that welfare check, the child probably would have died within 24 hours.
Oh, wow. Well, we applaud the deputy.
Yes.
My gosh.
How much elder abuse do you get calls about?
We do get quite a bit, and that's a very difficult crime to investigate. A lot of times it's not physical abuse. It's fiduciary or financial abuse where they take advantage of the people and, hey, I'll go out and buy groceries for you, and they'll keep some extra checks, or, hey, I'm a little bit short, will you issue me that? And then sometimes some of the senior citizens have memory issues for prosecution. Makes it hard because sometimes they pass away during the case, and so that makes it hard for witnesses. So it is a very challenging crime to investigate, and a lot of times the suspects say, well, they gave this to me. It wasn't a loan, and then people have some difficulty recalling it.
We know people that are involved in this thing. Oh, I tell you, what a mess that is. I mean, because, you know...
Their father had no power of
attorney given to somebody.
It's great.
God.
It's very, very difficult. And then when they are victims of scams, that just breaks your heart because sometimes they lose their entire life savings.
Everything. Because of people. And they prey on older people.
Absolutely.
You know, we're almost at the end, Tom. We've gone through the whole... Go through the whole show without talking about marijuana, so we won't. Even though that it's a huge thing out here, and that y'all have just done so much to try and to fight the big plantations,
right.
You could care less about those guys. What's the one thing you want people to kind of remember? Your last thought here for them to remember, to do or to watch out for.
Be our eyes and our ears, and report crimes and suspicious activity, and be sure and thank. Some of the men and women in uniform, whether it be a sheriff's deputy, a police officer, for the job that they do. They're out there 24/7, 365, serving our communities. And also, don't forget to thank a veteran for their service to our great nation.
Hey, Tom, you're a great man. And thank you so much for your comments. What's the number if they had to call? I guess it's 911.
If there's an emergency, 911. Right. If it's not an emergency, 245-6540. And that's both for Redding Police Department and for Shasta County Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff Tom Basenko, thank you so much
for the beginning of
our monthly series we have here.
And don't forget, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is On the Spot with Linda Bott. And tomorrow, Barbara Harrison's going to be sitting in my chair.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.